let's do that at this time. If you'll grab your Bible, and we'll go right into the Word of God. I appreciate all the good singing this morning and the good congregational singing tonight, but I just kind of felt like in my spirit it was probably best to get right into the sermon, and so that's what we'll do. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew and the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter number 13. I don't intend to preach to you very long tonight. I've got a simple thought, just a simple sermon, and but it's what the Lord has given us for tonight, and so we'll give it to you, and you pray for us diligently as we preach, and the Lord will help us both, okay? All right, if you want to stand, you're encouraged to do that at this time. Matthew chapter number 13, and I want you to look at verse number 24, and let's read verse 24 through 30, and then I'm going to preach down through verse 33. We may read all those. But look at verse 24. Jesus said, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeareth the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, What will thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let me just add an interjection right here. We must be careful as a church, and those of us preachers, we must be careful that we don't try to spend all of our time digging up tares that would damage the wheat in the process. Does that make sense? Maybe it does, maybe it don't. It'll make sense in a minute, hopefully. But he said, just verse 30, let them both gather up together, let them grow up together unto the harvest. And then in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 31, let's keep reading. I'm going to mess Brother Scott up with his slides right here. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Father, add your blessings to your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Matthew 13 is a parallel chapter to the one we preached from last Sunday night. Last Sunday, we began to preach on the Lord's parables, and I gave you that first great parable, which was the sower, the soul, and the seed. And we discussed that from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, I believe it was. Well, this is a parallel chapter to Luke, chapter number 8. Jesus, if you'll remember, is on the Sea of Galilee. A host of people have come out to hear him speak, and the disciples are impressed by the crowd. But Jesus is not so impressed. He realizes that not everyone that hears the gospel responds to the gospel. Now, you again will remember, when the sower goes out to sow his seed, some falls on stony ground, some is snatched up by the birds, some is choked out by thorns, and then about one-fourth falls on good ground and brings forth fruit. Now, that's a sobering thought. And we've talked about it, but I'll say it again. That's a sobering thought. It is sobering to realize that not everybody we share the gospel with will receive it and will not accept it. That's not the fault of the seed. The seed is the Word of God, and it is perfect. It is not the fault of the sower. In the parable, Jesus is the sower. It is not our fault when someone doesn't accept the gospel. The problem is the heart of man. It is the soul that is the problem in those parables. And after telling them the parable
of the sower, the soul, and the seed, Jesus follows that by giving the parables that I just gave to you. Luke doesn't give us these parables, but Jesus does. In fact, he gives us two sets of parables in Matthew 13. There are three that we just read. And in those three, Jesus is teaching his disciples this thought: the kingdom will face opposition. That is what we see in all three of those parables. And then after he tells us how the kingdom will have opposition, at the end of the chapter, he'll teach us that the kingdom will triumph in the end. But tonight I want to look at that first group of parables and preach on the thought: the kingdom will be opposed. The kingdom will be opposed. According to the sower, according to the parable that we just read, the sower is the enemy, and the enemy does everything that he can to harm the cause of Christ. In the parable of the sower and the seed and the soul, the birds or the enemy, Satan, does everything he can to snatch the gospel out of the heart of man before he receives it. But can I warn you tonight, if the enemy is not able to snatch the seed away, he will attack the gospel, he will attack the kingdom, he will attack the church, and those of us that have believed. You don't think that because you're saved and you're in church tonight, and we're a good Bible-believing church, that the devil's just going to leave us alone? You don't believe that, do you? The devil will snatch up the gospel if he can, and if he can't, then it would do everything he can to persecute the gospel. Let's look at these three parables quickly. Number one, there's the parable of the tares. There's the parable of the tares. Verse 24 said, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who soweth good seed in his field, but while he slept," and may that be a warning to us, that while we sleep is when the devil does the most harm. We must be awake, we must be sober, and we must be vigilant, because if we sleep, the enemy sneaks in at that time and sows tares among the wheat. But, verse 25, "But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." Since Satan cannot uproot the true Christian, the Bible says that he plants false Christians among them. In this parable, we learn that God is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one sowing the good seed, and the enemy is going about sowing bad seed. The good seed is a picture of those that accept the gospel and are saved. Therefore, by reason, we can safely assume that the tares are those that are counterfeit. They are not real. They do not have genuine salvation. They have not been born again. Satan has planted them here, and they are among us, wolves among sheep, tares among wheat. They are false while we are true, okay? Satan knows he can't destroy the church. Jesus told Peter that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. So since he can't destroy it, he mixes evil in where God meant for there to be good. Don't be deceived on this. I know it's not very encouraging, but Brother Justin said today at the ordination service, you got to keep it balanced. So I may not get you to shout tonight, but I want to warn you about some things, okay? Don't be deceived. Everything God does, Satan has a counterfeit for. Satan has counterfeit Christians, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Those counterfeit Christians believe a counterfeit gospel, according to Galatians 1, 6 through 9. They encourage a counterfeit righteousness, according to Romans 10, 1 through 3. They have a counterfeit church, according to Revelation 2, 9. And one day they will worship a counterfeit Christ, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. The devil will always have a Judas among the disciples. He will always have a false book to mix in amongst the real book. He will always have a false path so that you don't find the true path that leads to salvation. There have always been and there will always be tares among the wheat. Not everybody that comes to church and says they're one of us are one of us. Notice a couple things. Notice the tares' trouble, the trouble with the tares. Verse 28 said, and he said to them, the enemy's done this. And the servant said, will we go out then and gather them up? Go and gather them up. He said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. When the servant in our parable realizes that tares have been planted among the good seed, he goes to his master and he says, Master, what do I do? Do you want me to spend my time finding the tares and pulling them up? But he is told by the master in verse 29 that the tares look so much like the wheat that if he spends his time trying to gather the tares, he is inevitably going to pull the wheat up with it and damage it in the process. Now, again, don't let this surprise you, but our church oftentimes has tares. They are mixed in among the wheat. And when they say our church, I don't just mean Landmark. I mean the church in general, Northside, but it's the church in general. But I'm telling you, friend, it can happen here at our church just like any other church. The reason you don't notice the tares among the wheat is because at first glance, they're indistinguishable and they look like the real thing. According to the parable of the sower in the first part of Matthew 13, only 1/4 of the people in that parable that heard the gospel received it. Only 1/4 believed and were saved. That means that there will be some hear the gospel, but with hard hearts they will not receive it. They will allow cares to choke it out. They will be among us, but they won't be one of us. You ever drove down the interstate and saw something, a bag, a piece of paper, or something like that, and you drive down the interstate, and when your vehicle goes by it, that piece of paper, it flies up in the air. But if you watch behind you as you go on by, it won't take long for that piece of paper to fall back down to the ground. There are cars on the interstate, and they're moving, but they're going somewhere. That bag's on the interstate, and it's doing a lot of moving, but it's not going anywhere. It's hard to distinguish just because somebody's moving whether they're real or not. There are a lot of people that they blow in and they blow back out. And they fly around at one point and everybody's paying attention to them, and then the next moment they're down in the dumps and they're out and you can't find them anywhere. Now, I'm not saying that everybody like that's unsaved, but I am saying the trouble is that it's hard to distinguish between the two. There are tares among the wheat. All right, I see the trouble, but I also see the task, the servant's task. Verse 30, he said, let them grow up together, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Instead of gathering up the tares, the Lord of the harvest asked the servant to just let them grow together. Let them grow together, and in the end, he will separate them. When we consider the fact that only a small majority hear the gospel, repent, and are saved, it can be confusing as to what we're supposed to do about it. The scripture teaches us that the only thing that we can do when we are faced with the fact that there are tares among the wheat, the only thing we can do is keep doing what we've been called to do. He said, no, don't try to deal with it because you'll damage the good trying to deal with the bad. And I mentioned that a minute ago. I didn't intend on preaching on it, and I still don't. But it is easy for a preacher to try to always deal with the bad and take care of everybody else's problems that he winds up harming the good in the meantime. It is not my job to decide which one of you all are saved. That's not my job. My job is to sow the seed, to throw the seed out. It's up to you and God what goes on in your heart. In fact, I tell you a lesson. I've heard it said multiple times in my listening lately, and I'm trying to teach myself this lesson. It's not my job whether you're saved or not. You know what else? It is not my job whether you take what I preach here in this pulpit and apply it to your life or not. That's not my business. God didn't call me to follow a bunch of people around and make sure that they read their Bibles, pray, live for God, don't act silly outside the church. God didn't call me to do that. God called me to preach, and then you and the Holy Spirit have to deal with the rest of that stuff. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter number 3, he's preaching to the Pharisees, preaching to those on the banks of the Jordan River. And he begins to tell a story about a farmer who goes out in harvest season and gathers his wheat. And mixed in among that wheat are tares. And John said, I tell you what the farmer does. He gathers them into his barns. And John said in Matthew 3, he's got a fan in his hand. And he begins to wave that fan and he separates the chaff from the wheat. You see, chaff has no fruit, it has no substance, it has no weight. And so that fan begins to separate the two. And he said he gathers the chaff and he burns it in unquenchable fire. That's what he says in our parable. God is saying to us, do what you are supposed to do. Share the gospel, tell other people about me. You live your Christian life, you serve God in your life and in your family, and then you allow God to separate who's real and who's not real. You say, well, preacher, is it worth it? I mean, really, if only a fraction gets saved, if only a handful are really true, if most of the crowd's going to walk away, is it even really worth it? I say to you, I believe it's worth it. I've told you the story before about the young boy that's walking along the seashore, and as he walks along the seashore, he finds starfish on the sand, and he picks them up and he's throwing them into the ocean. And a man comes to him and asks him, he said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing these starfish into the ocean. I'm saving their lives. And he said, boy, do you see all the starfish on the seashore? He said, you'll never save all of them. He said, it may be true, I won't save all of them, but he picked one up and he threw it into the ocean. He said, but I made a difference in that one's life. Not everybody's real, but there are real believers, and we've got to try to go out and reach somebody with the gospel and then let God take care of the rest of it. All right, let's move quickly. Not only do I see the parable of the tares, but he gives us the parable of the mustard seed, verse number 31. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to the grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This parable is a little harder to understand. In the other parables, Jesus explains to us the meaning. In the parable of the sower, he tells us what the sower is. In the parable of the tares, he tells us what the tares are. Jesus, however, does not tell us the meaning of this parable. But there are a few things that we can deduct from other illustrations and other parables to help us explain this one. Let's start with the mustard seed. The picture of the mustard seed is a picture of something small. In Matthew 17, we are told, the Lord says, if you have the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it'd be cast into the sea. What he's saying in that illustration is if you had a small amount of faith, you could do great big things with it. So the mustard seed is a picture of something small. In our parable, the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, grows into something very large. In fact, it grows into a large shrub or a large herb. It is not a tree. A mustard seed does not grow into a tree, but it grows into a large shrub. According to Daniel chapter 4, Ezekiel chapter 17, trees symbolize national power. They symbolize kingdoms. And this mustard seed is mimicking that. So it is like a kingdom, but it's not a tree. It's not a real kingdom. Finally, we see that the mustard seed grows into the point that it's large enough for the birds to lodge in it. Okay, let's do some deductive reasoning. In our parable of the sower, the soul, and the seed, the birds represent Satan. Do you remember that? They represent Satan. So if they represent Satan in that parable, it is reasonable to believe that they also represent evil, darkness, or Satan in this parable. So when you put these things together, you see this. Satan is not able to destroy the church, so what he does in some churches is he creates false growth or a false kingdom inside of the church, and he works through that false pocket or that false kingdom inside of the church to get his work done. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, we read about the Laodicean church at the end of that chapter. That is the church that pictures the church as a whole right before the coming of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus, through John, writes to that Laodicean church, he describes them as being prosperous in numbers, prosperous in power, prosperous in riches, that they've got it all materially figured out. They have all the right things. But he said, there's one thing that you're missing, and it's me. He said, I'm on the outside of your church knocking, trying to get in. Let me say this. A true church is not judged by the size of the building, by the size of the budget, or by the number of bodies that are in pews. That is not what determines a church. A church can be large and a church can be small, but if we are not careful, Satan will fill it with birds that will set up their own kingdom inside of his kingdom and try to rule and run the church. This is super encouraging. I get it. Y'all just shout. You teenagers, what I tell you up there at that youth rally, I said, if it gets rough, you just shout and everybody's going to think I'm doing good. And then they'll start shouting too. Here in a minute, Eli, I want you to lap, okay? You just take off. Lap. We don't like to think about it. But Satan's able to take something very small, plant it in the kingdom, plant it in the church, and the little thing grows into a big thing that Satan uses to do damage to the kingdom of God. You know, and I'll deal with more of this in just a minute, but you know, the thing that Satan uses most of the time to harm churches, divide churches, divide families even, you know, most of the time it's just a little thing. It's just the size of a mustard seed. But we allow the little thing to turn into a great big thing. And when we do that, we're allowing Satan, the birds, to infiltrate. Oh, he can't stop the church. Again, the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. But he'll put a little thing in the church that'll blow up into a big thing. And he'll use the big thing to cause a big ruckus, a big harm in the church. Okay, last of all, I told you I wouldn't preach long. There's the parable of the leaven. The parable of the leaven, verse 33. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Once again, Jesus gives us a picture of Satan opposing the kingdom. In the previous parable, it was the mustard seed that grew. That is a picture of something outwardly. But in this parable, it is not a mustard seed that grows. Instead, it is leaven that is hid inside of the dough. This is talking about something that grows inwardly. Leaven inside of dough, what does it make it do? It makes it rise. It makes it swell. Once again, we're able to take the teachings of other passages of Scripture and use them to help us here. Leaven is a picture of sin almost always when you find it in your Bible. When they had the very first Passover that night in Egypt, do you know what God told them to do before the Passover, before the death angel came? God said, I want you to take all of the leaven and get it out of your house. They had to remove it all. Why? Because leaven was a picture of sin. I want all the sin out before the blood is applied. Throughout your Bible, leaven is a picture of not only sin, but it's a picture of hypocrisy. It is a picture of false teaching. It is a picture of compromise. It is a picture of carnality. It is a picture of false doctrine. And he said, a woman took leaven and hid it in the meal. And Satan doesn't just work on the outside. Satan works on the inside. Satan works on the inside through false doctrine and false teaching. In the Galatian church, they really struggled with false doctrine, false teaching, and it was dividing their church. They were taking the gospel of the grace of God, faith for salvation, and they were mixing it with false teaching. False teachers were mixing it with the law of Moses and preaching a hybrid gospel. Oh, you got to have faith, but you also got to have works. And Paul said, who hath bewitched you, you foolish Galatians? They were being led astray by false doctrine and false teaching. And Satan, if allowed to, will mix in false doctrine among true doctrine and use it in your hearts to lead you astray. Can I say to you, be careful who you listen to? Be careful what you allow to go in your eye gate and your ear gate. Be careful who you listen to, because you know what the enemy will do? He'll take one little comment, sometimes it's just a comment in passing, and he'll begin to question things in your mind. And you'll start going down this list. Well, if that's not right, then is this right? Is this right? Is this right? I want you to be so careful about what you're listening to that I want you to be careful no matter what source it comes from. I want you to be careful what you hear coming from me. Say, oh, preacher, we trust you. I get that. But Paul said that the people from Berea, that they were greater than the Thessalonians or vice versa, because whenever he would preach to them, they would study the Scriptures to make sure what he said was so. I want you to be so familiar with your Bible that if I said something incorrect from this pulpit, you would say, that wasn't right. Now, God knows my heart. As sure as I'm standing here, I don't think there's anything in any fiber of my being that would desire to preach you something false. I may say something incorrect in ignorance, but not intentionally. But Satan will take small things mixed in with the truth to harm and hurt his church. You know that most people Most people that are in false churches today, let's just leave it like that. Most people that are in false churches today that are not teaching the truth of the Bible, most of them started out in a sound Bible-believing church at one point. Most of them don't go out recruiting and they're not knocking on doors and soul winning. They're just stealing everybody else's church members. And so what will happen is you're in a good Bible-believing church today and you let something come into your heart that shouldn't be there. And before long, it swells into something that you never really intended it to be. But watch this. It's not only false doctrine that he uses, but sometimes this leaven, and leaven again is a picture of sin, right? It's not only a picture of false doctrine, but it's a picture of sin. Sometimes Satan will take little sins and he'll hide them in your heart. Things like jealousy, things like anger, things like malice. You know, those Christian sins. You know, the things that nobody sees that we could still do and sit on a church pew and feel good, right? If somebody caught you in a bar Saturday night, you would be ashamed and embarrassed, and we might have to deal with it as a church. But isn't anger, jealousy, gossip and backbiting, aren't those things sins too? And so what happens is a little sin gets put into our heart. And that little sin, just like the leaven does with the meal or the dough, that little sin swells and rises and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. If the Galatian church is a good example of false doctrine, the Corinthian church is a good example of sin. They let little things in, and it was destroying their church. I want you to imagine this with me. In this chapter alone, Jesus has said, not everybody's going to believe. Satan's going to sow counterfeit Christians. Satan will bring false growth, and Satan will slip in false doctrine and hidden sins. That lesson seems overwhelming to me. It almost seems discouraging. Why even go on? Why even continue? I think we continue because while not everybody will believe, some will believe. And while the kingdom will be opposed, the kingdom is victorious in the end. There is no doubt that we're in a fight. There is no doubt that we are opposed on every side. But I want to encourage you tonight. Let me finish by encouraging you. You are a winner in Jesus Christ. And we are victorious in Jesus Christ. And in the end, the kingdom wins. There may be battles along the way, and it may get hard along the way. But we're winners in the end. And not everybody you talk to will get it. Not everybody will accept it. But you just keep doing what God's called you to do. You keep walking with God. You keep sharing your testimony. You keep inviting somebody to church. And who knows? Who knows whether that ground that you throw that seed on, the next one, it might be good ground. Brother Scott, why don't you get us a verse of a song? Let's close. I hate to close a Sunday service without giving you the opportunity to pray. So if there is someone that needs to come pray, you are certainly welcome to do so.